Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dukes and Bell, glad to have you here on a Thursday. One of our best moments week in and week out is the time we get to spend with Barbara Dooley. Coach joined us for 7 or 8 years or so on this show before passing away. And I remember when we approached Barbara about coming on, we weren't sure if she was willing to do it. And ever since she has, it's been a hit. I'm just telling you the facts. People talk about this particular segment to us out and about publicly, privately, sending us messages a lot more than they do about a lot of the things that we do on this show. So I say that to compliment Barbara and the job she's done. So let's talk some dogs. Barbara, last week, tough. I mean, that was tough, wasn't it?
No, it was disgusting. I'm going to tell you what. I first of all, can't believe we had a blackout game when we've never won a blackout game. Mm. I did not want to wear black, but I did. Mm. And it was horrible. And then, secondly, as long as I lived with a coach, he always said, you almost never leave points on the field. And we left a few points on the field when we kicked the field goal. I mean, when we didn't kick the field goal in the fourth quarter.
Right.
I can't second guess Kirby. I mean, he's won 2 national championships back to back. But I honestly wanted to walk across the street and say, Kerb, what's going on in your brain?
Take the points.
Barbara Dooley's with us, guys. Brought to you by Kroger. Yeah, the blackout against Auburn was good. The subsequent blackout, Alabama, never really a good idea. Kirby, 107-13, as Barbara knows, against all other college football teams, but 1-7. Barbara, it's a thing. So, I mean,
it's psychological. It is totally psychological. And do you realize that they broke our 33 straight game home record?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I can't believe Alabama came in and did that. And we could not, for some reason, the first quarter, or really the first half, it didn't even look like we could play. We couldn't make a third down. We couldn't do anything. But I don't know what Kirby does at halftime. But Alabama, I don't think they scored the second
half.
Nope,
they didn't. Nope.
So why didn't he do that at the beginning of the game? Whatever he does at halftime.
It's something dog fans were asking, like, why can we start the game like this? Because they came out hot, right?
Yeah, they did. They wanted to beat us. Yeah, they did. And we couldn't make a third. What? They made
13.
How many third 13. Downs?
13 and 19.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Yep.
And how many did we make? None.
No.
Five.
We had some.
You know, this is what Vince used to come home to.
Right.
And he would say, Barbara, I know what the people of Georgia are thinking now. You've just told me.
True.
Because he said, I echoed the people of Georgia. because I didn't know a damn thing about it. But I always questioned him about everything he did. So anyway, I'm not married to Kirby. Thank God he doesn't have me in my mouth. But there are questions I'd like to find out.
Let me ask you.
Do you think that was Kirby, or do you think that was Bobo?
I think, you know, that's, I was just going to ask you if Coach Dooley ever said, came home one day, if he confided in you, that maybe you need to make some changes with his staff over all those years. I think they might need a new approach, Barbara, to your point. Maybe more on defense than offense.
Yeah, but Kirby's a defensive coach. Come on.
Yeah,
I mean, he's a master at defense.
No, he is. He is. As I said last week in defending him, or maybe it was earlier this week, you know, he holds up one hand. He's got four rings when he was a defensive coordinator with Nick Saban. There's no debating. What you're saying. Let me say this about that. It's an interesting question, Barbara. Barbara Dooley, our guest here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, brought to you by our friends at Kroger. And we do this every week. Dogs have Kentucky coming up. We're going to talk about that in a second. But you just said, do we think it was Kirby or Bobo? Guys, there are times where your offensive or defensive coordinator is trying to convince the head coach that it is the right decision.
Right.
He's on the headset going, Coach, let's go for it. Coach, we got to get this. Let's go. I got to play. Let's go. So I don't know if Bobo did that. But, Barbara, you know this, being married to Vince for all those years and being a part of this program and building it. It still comes back on the head coach.
It does.
Even if Bobo was like, let's go. We got to get it, Coach. Let's get it. And then you don't get it. Everybody still points the finger at the head man.
Yeah, they do. But let me ask you this. Would you have kicked the field goal?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Because of the way, for me, the way the game was going. It had nothing more to do than... You know what? Tie the game up. Defense is stout. You just said it. We've shut them down.
We did.
Let my defense go to work here, and let's see what happens. I would have, but again, that's why Mike and I have been second-guessing.
I would have gone for it. I just didn't like the play, Barbara. I just hated the play. Didn't like the call.
Well, I wasn't going to say that. I was biting my tongue, but I'm not saying any more about it.
Let's talk about Kentucky.
No. What did you think of the play? What did you think of the play call? Weak side with Cash behind two freshmen blocking.
For me, it wasn't the play, Barbara. It was the personnel. I didn't feel like we had the best personnel in there.
Well, we had freshmen. And may I say, I felt so sorry for the kid running down the field, wide open, Gunner Stockton hits him right in the numbers with a ball, and it goes through his hands. I look at the program, he's a freshman.
Yep.
I'm going, no wonder he was wetting his pants, he was so afraid.
Taylor is the boy's name. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, my gosh. I just couldn't believe it. He's scared to death.
Yeah. Big moment. Big moment. All right.
Big moment.
All right.
Look, all right, Kentucky.
Because we have to get past this. And Barbara Dooley, you know, you can't let one loss turn into two because you're so distraught about maybe winning the game or what you didn't do last week. You've got to be able to move forward. We know this. Last year, Kentucky, look, Dogs went up there. They barely made it out alive, right?
One point.
It was crazy.
Right.
So this year, I don't think Kentucky is as good as they were. Offensively, they're struggling. But Kirby always talks about Mark Stoops' teams being physical. What do you think happens on Saturday?
Well, I think they're physical. They are. And Kentucky is always, it has always been, even though we controlled them for many years, they were always in the ball game. And I will never forget in 1977 when Prince Charles, you weren't even born. But
I wasn't, yes.
The King of England now was on our field.
Right.
Did I ever tell you this story?
You've alluded to it. You never told us the story, but let's hear it.
Well, I was so excited that I was going to meet Prince Charles. And Vincent said, you are not going to meet Prince Charles. I'm meeting him at halftime. We're meeting on the field with the Kentucky coach. I think it was Fran Kersey. And I said, Oh, yes, I am. I want to meet him. I want Vincent's. And he would never let me or our children do anything that the other staff could not do.
Okay.
He said, no, you're not going down there because none of the other wives are getting to go. Well, I was pouting, and I was sitting up in the stands watching the halftime, and out walks the prince, and can you believe one of his coaches brought his wife on the field? Now, you think I wasn't mad? Oh, my gosh. But what was the funniest thing? He came home to tell me about it, and he said, and I'm not going to mention his name, but he said, Coach so-and-so, we're in the middle of shaking hands with the prince, and he reaches in his pocket and says, hey, prince, you want a piece of gum?
Barbara, come on.
At least he didn't call him Chuck.
Come on. Did he? That really happened?
That really happened.
Oh, my goodness.
That, it was the funniest thing. But, you know, Vince was so embarrassed that his coach
right.
would ask the prince if he wanted a piece of gum. And I might say he said, no, thank you.
Oh, my God. I was going to say, did Irk Russell have his dress T-shirt on for the prince's arrival?
That is great.
Oh, man.
Barbara Dooley joining us, brought to you by our friends at Kroger. It's dogs, Kentucky dogs at home this weekend. Barbara, they're going to bounce back. They'll be fine. Learning moments in that Alabama game for this young Georgia team. We forget, I know you don't, it's a young Georgia team. This is not Kirby's most
That's
experienced
right.
team, you know?
Well, and I'm going to venture to say that by the end of the season, every team in the SEC will have lost one.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right, right.
Yeah, I don't think anybody goes undefeated. I'm with
you. No, I don't. But every week is going to be a big-time challenge because the NIL has really divided up the players, don't you think?
Yeah, there's no more depth like Kirby had when he went back-to-back championships.
That's right. That's exactly right. So it's not recruiting, as I told somebody the other day. It's how much money you can pay them. That's the recruiting now.
Yeah. It sounds crazy, but this is the landscape of where we are. I think Kirby's done a really good job of navigating it, but it has changed, and coaches know that, and that's why we're seeing more and more parity. Look, you got to worry about the team in front of you. This week it's Kentucky. Worry about Texas and Ole Miss down the road, Florida. We'll get to that. But this schedule doesn't get any easier. And that's,
nope.
And that's the part about this. You know, when you look at the schedule, you're like, oh, we get a few breaks. Not really.
Uh-uh. No. We only have maybe one.
Right.
Maybe one. I mean, look at Tech. Can you even believe that?
Yeah. Well, they got a good coach. They got a guy that, you know, he was, worked with Kirby. So he's got some of the things he learned from Kirby and from Nick Saban, and they're building on a solid foundation.
They really are. I'm just, every week I get more shocked. But here's to them. Here's to all you Tech people listening.
Yeah.
I'm in your corner now until you play us, but we're coming after you this year.
Very gracious of Barbara right there.
The game's going to be in Mercedes-Benz. Barbara, we love you. Great job, and we will talk to you next week. Go Dawgs.
Go Dawgs.
There she is.
We didn't ask her about covering the spread against Kentucky.
I don't know if she's betting that one.
Well, you know, Kirby and the number. Kirby, anything over 30, this is what, 20, right? 20 and a half?
Yeah, it's big.
It's
big.
But one thing, by the way, in all seriousness, we'll talk about Mike Griffith is going to join us from Dog Nation. We'll talk about some of the breakdowns. One of them was a lot of folks have said, looking at the film, is, you know, Gunnar Stockton against his own defense. And can you start hitting these receivers and these playmakers? And we'll get Mike's take later in the show, I think, what, 520? About what he thought, you know, shouldn't have happened between both Bobo and Schumann on both sides.
All right. Yeah, it's 20 and a half, Mike.
Yeah, I'm not touching that either.
All right.
Going to find some games. so far, we don't like much of anything.
Yeah.
I like these games like Chipper likes my take on Snicker versus Bobby Cox.
Clown. Gas bag.
Yes, all right, and what are you going to do about it, you big gas bag?
We got more to get to, guys, including some guy talk. We will get back into the Falcons. If you did not hear the good news for the Falcons, even though they're on the bye, some really good news about some of our guys. And when we come back, though, we got to talk about the anchor of the defense. It's not who you think it is. It's Dukes and Bell.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks to Barbara Dooley, as always, told you. She said the loss to Alabama was disgusting. Her words, as she questioned, and it's just interesting. She said, look, I would have took the points. Take the points. Let's tie the game up. We always are going to second guess coaches when they make these kind of decisions, especially when it doesn't work. If that play works and the dogs score, this is a different conversation. Because Alabama's now behind. They've got to go down the field, Mike. You've held them to 0 points in the second half. Like, you feel completely different if that would have played out. But it didn't. So, you know, that's why it's been a topic of conversation. Not only it's going to continue to be, Mike, because if the season doesn't play out the way we expect,
right,
you're going to look back and go, those are the plays that shifted the season one way or another.
Jason DeWayne hit us up on Dukes and Bell. He goes, come on now. I've seen this story back in 2011.
Come on, Jason.
He goes, I've seen this same movie in 2011. It was definitely Bobo when we were asking Barbara. Look, you know, it's for those who remember how the 2011 SEC championship, that was the 2012 Alabama team that goes on to just smoke Notre Dame. And you could argue that Georgia, with the equal talent, would have done likewise.
Yes.
And then Brent Musburger might have been talking about Aaron Murray's girlfriend. Oh, look at that. I don't know. But what happened in that one was, They have a chance. They could have spiked the ball inside at the 10 and get the best play in it, but they rushed it, couldn't get the playoff, and unfortunately, you know, I mean, they couldn't get the play to get the job done, and Alabama goes on to win. And similar, because in this case, you want to rush to get your package out there and try to do whatever you thought you were going to do to get an advantage against Bama, and obviously didn't work instead of kicking the field goal.
Yeah, very similar. We hear you, Jason, but you know, here's the deal, too. If you are any head coach, and if you're Kirby Smart, look, dude shouldn't be on your staff if you don't trust him. So if Bobo was in his ear, let's go, coach, I got this, we got to play, then you got to trust him, because that's what they're on the staff for. You have to delegate, guys. You can't make every damn decision and think that you're going to have success. That's why having a great coaching staff, Dabo, matters. So, you know, when his assistants used to tell him, Mike, hey, this is what I think we should do, and Dabo listened, they were winning national championships. There's a big difference. Big O, what do you want to add, man, real quick?
So the Punt and Pass podcast with Drew Butler and Jake Fromm. Jake thinks that what happened was Kirby told Bobo to get two plays ready.
Okay.
Right.
And Bobo called those two plays.
Yeah.
So those are the two plays that were called. So it was sort of a mutual meeting of the minds, like, hey, if we don't get this, have that second play ready, and to go up to the line, we'll do quick, we'll do whatever, the no-huddle thing, and then we'll run the second play like that if we don't get the first down.
Right. And again, as we said, you know, if the blocks are made, Cash probably could have walked to the pylon. But it just, when it blows up the way it did, and it looks like a, what's the proper nomenclature? I have to say, you got to be careful now. Asian fire drill, Carl? You know, I mean, it just didn't pass the eye test. With the way, you know, because of how the play was being executed, it's just one of those moments. And that's why we asked the question about, and Barbara kind of said it. You know, it just, like, she knows she'll follow Georgia football her whole life. That, you know, do you get tight for these big moments? Does the coaching staff get tight? Do the players feed off of that? I mean, look, the season's not over. Carl said it last segment. There's plenty of football to be played, and I don't think anyone's going to be perfect. Maybe somebody from the Big Ten can emerge undefeated before we get to the playoffs. But how do you grow, and how do the coaching staff, to your point about Dabo, get better?
Yeah, that's really the key. And Kirby's put some great play coaches around him as they made these runs. But when you're losing those kinds of games and you're in it and you're questioning decision-making, then that's when the coaching staff, Mike, is going to get criticism, right? Mm-hmm. And that's when your assistants start to play a role in that. I want to see how they react and come back this week. Mike said that number's too big. I actually don't think it is. I think they blow doors this weekend.
Okay.
Now
it sounds come out too slow.
Well,
Carl,
but
that's the issue.
But you don't think Kirby's been on that damn megaphone all week? Move!
He's on the megaphone every week.
Move! You guys are moving too slow. I guarantee you that has been the emphasis this week. That start of just we'll
you
get
really
it going.
Think I'm
gonna
answer that
come
question.
On, Kirby. We'll get it going. We'll get there eventually by the third quarter. Can't do it, Day-Day.
Yeah, I just don't think – I mean, the thing about Kentucky, and again, your daughter's going there, so you get to watch them a lot. Their offense
not
is
not really.
No, not this year. That offense is not the offense I think you have to worry about Georgia having a slow start against on defense.
Well, here's the bigger thing, and since we're talking about this, this is the talk up there, okay? Stoops is 6-19 versus power conference teams since he got this big race. He doesn't win these games. They're close. They're in them.
Respectable.
Respectable, but they don't win these games. So if you just say Andrews is going to win, that's a given. But obviously Vegas is saying, well, how much are they going to win by? And I think after the loss that left the bad taste in your mouth, they bounced back big this week. And Kentucky doesn't have the offense this year to do that, which, you know, allowed them to hang the last few years and make these games a lot closer. So that's where I'm at, but we'll see. We're going to give you our official picks coming up. Real quick, I want to talk about the Falcons.
No,
Mike.
It was disgusting.
It was, please, Barbara. It was. That's how I felt. It could, because it was there for the taking.
Right.
Like, and you had it.
And after you finally figured out what you were trying to do defensively, you know, you were able to keep them out of the end zone. Now, the problem was you couldn't get the ball back when you needed it.
Well, yeah, that's true, too. Mike, who would you say is the anchor right now? Who is the anchor? We're going to tell you some good news about the Falcons coming up here in about 30 minutes. Mike's got guy talk coming up in less than 6 minutes from now. Stay there. But who would you say is the anchor of our defense? Would you say Jesse Bates?
You know, I mean, I guess he'd be part of the anchors. He would be one of, I mean, you know what I'd say? And this might sound strange.
What's that?
Because I know he's had some plays. He's also missed a couple, but I think Caden Ellis is one of those guys.
I do too. I do too. It's funny because we were talking about maybe the weak spot. I think on Monday we got into this discussion, or maybe Tuesday after the win, and we were talking about the team and the concerns. And we had a guy call in and
said it was linebackers.
Yeah,
right?
He said the linebackers are the weak spot. I don't know if I feel that way. I think Caden Ellis is not only a leader, but I also think he's an anchor.
Right.
But I would tell you guys after four games, the tape says Devon Diablo is the anchor.
Right. A linebacker.
He's doing a lot. And, guys, I know that maybe you're not watching Divine Diablo as much as you maybe should, but this dude is covering. He's running down guys from the opposite side of the field. He's involved in a lot of tackles. I just feel like, Mike, he may be the unsung hero when this is all said and done.
Almost had a pick that would have set us up, and we would have had that score before halftime.
Yeah, if this defense continues to live up to it and do the things they're doing. That doesn't take anything away from Jesse Bates. I'm just saying, like, if you said the anchor, I'm with Mike. I think Caden Ellis, and I certainly think Devon Diablo, at least through four games. Right. He keeps playing this way. Guys, he's going to get a lot of recognition because he's playing really well right now for the Falcons and what they're asking him to do. And that's going to depend, Mike, on Jalen Walker and James Pierce coming along, too. I'm not telling you they haven't played well. I'm not satisfied with what I've seen because they've been close.
I don't think you don't discount what they did in Minnesota. Everybody now, it's Minnesota, you know, they suck. No, well, they're inconsistent right now. Trying to find an identity. Their quarterback, you know, was not good in that game. But don't you think our defense has something to say about J.J. McCarthy being as bad, seeing shadows, doing terrible mistakes.
They hurt McCarthy in the running back.
Knocked him out.
So, yeah, I think they had something to
Jalen
say about
Walker's
it.
Strong. I mean, he threw McCarthy down like a ragdoll, like he was playing in an SEC game. Just, you know, and I think they're continuing to learn and evolve. Ulbrich was talking about that. So, and again, and technically those are linebackers, you know, Pierce. I mean, it's edge rush in a 3-4, but they're the OLBs.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. We've been talking about this defense, and I want to give these guys their love, man. Devine has been playing really well. But through four games, there are a bunch of guys that have contributed, but I think he might be the one guy that they asked to do a whole lot that is just not talked about. And if he continues to play this way, this is why they went out and got him, man. This is one of those things, Mike, where we talk about Terry Fontenot, and I don't know how this shakes out. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. But we talk about Alex Anthopoulos going to get guys that just fit in, and then all of a sudden they're hitting and they're doing things, and you're like, man, that's a great pickup. This might be that with Divine Diablo.
Right, and again, when we drafted him, other than saying, Divine
Diablo.
Love the name, but, you know, didn't, because who's watching the Raiders, and certainly not really an elite defense, but he fits what we're doing. And as we said, I know that, yeah, close but no cigar, because, you know, Caden Ellis almost got Baker. If he gets Baker on the ground, maybe we win that game outright in week one. But that's why maybe next year we'll let these guys play in the preseason. Maybe get some of the bugs out. But I'm liking what I'm seeing from the defense. And now almost 2 full weeks to figure out how you try to limit the damage you feel that Josh Allen can do. But one thing for certain, looking at Buffalo, we talked about yesterday with West Durham, that's not an elite defense. And our run game should eat up Buffalo coming up next month, a week from Monday.
I agree. We were talking about the 49ers earlier and their issues. They're going to the Thursday night tonight. Real quick before we get to some guy talk, they have signed Adrian Martinez, Mike, from the practice squad to back up Mac Jones tonight.
All right.
That's how bad it is.
Adrian Martinez?
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, that's how banged up they are. God forbid if anything happens to Mac Jones, you're going to see Adrian Martinez tonight.
Yeah, the under is 43.5. Over-under, we talked about that earlier. Maybe Vegas trying to get you to jump on that. The 49ers defense, still pretty stout. Are you expecting the Rams just run roughshod? 49ers will take over SoFi. We've seen that before.
Yeah, they will.
They come down the 101 and they go bananas. So we'll see. But the official Dukes of Bell position, we're not touching it.
Day-Day, you want this? You can have it.
Say you're scared.
No, come on, Day-Day.
You want a piece of this? You're the leader in the clubhouse right now.
You are, man. You the one pumping your chest out.
Yeah, this isn't one I'm too interested in.
I'm scared.
All right, man. Go do some sit-ups. Maybe that's a six-pack for your wife. You know, he's going to be busy doing that tonight, Carl.
I already know.
Crunches. Hey, by the way, some Braves news. Other than Chipper calling me a gas bag and a talentless clown, Dave O'Brien reporting that Jared Kelnick electing for free agency.
Really?
So Kelnick's going to be out of here. So the Kelnick experiment.
I was about to say.
Journeyman.
Yeah.
Bomb.
Okay. Well, look, that was, again, you didn't pay him anything, Mike. He wasn't a guy on a multi-year deal. Matter of fact, they still owned, I think it was not even arbitration eligible. High reward, low risk. Didn't work. Okay.
Right. Rolled the dice. It was a former number one, you know, pick from the Mets. And you thought, like, there were moments where you could see it because he was pretty slick fielding in the outfield and just too inconsistent at the plate. For what it's worth, Dave O'Brien reporting, Alexis Diaz, I think Grant's got it as well, Dane Dunning, Sandy Leon, Luke Williams, and Jared Kelnick all optioned to Gwinnett, and Diaz, Dunning, and Kelnick all chose free agency.
Yeah. Carl, by the way, how you doing on those picks, man?
Which ones?
I mean, we keeping a buck right now, we ass.
Okay, you know what? You talking about the football picks? Really? We'll get to that tomorrow. Oh, you've just been waiting all day.
We keeping a buck right now, we ass.
Why don't you stick to Mike with the clown stuff that we were playing earlier, okay?
What are you going to do about it, you big gas bag?
I gave you those sunglasses. I'll take them back. By the way, photo of Oren rocking the blenders. Look, they fit his head.
They do.
They just look. I mean, no, I got a pretty good size.
You saying he's got a big head?
We've got, you and I have got pretty good sized noggins.
He's got a big head.
In a good way, Oren. Right.
In a good way.
But on Oren, they fit perfect. You got the perfect sized noggin for those Dion blenders.
We keeping a buck right now, we ask. Thank you.
Mike, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
All right. Is this a real story or is it fake news? Did Jerry Jones call Goodell and say, we can't have this bad bunny at halftime?
Uh-oh.
That's not representative of America.
Uh-oh.
Or is it just nonsense? We'll get to the bottom of that. And I got to be honest. Do you really need a flag football league that the NFL is going to run?
Is that going to happen?
Well, we'll hear from the foremost flag football quarterback coming up in Guy Talk, who's better in his own way than Patrick Mahomes. It's all on the way. Did Jerry Jones say, no, senor, to Roger Goodell? Find out.
Si, senor.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, my God. We're laughing our butts off here during the commercial break here on Dukes and Bell. Because you got to see what Mac Jones is wearing as he makes his entrance into SoFi Stadium, getting off the team bus with the 49ers. He literally looks like a waiter in, oh, what was that movie we loved? The Fifth Element, the cruise ship
with
Bruce Willis. I mean, Oren, how would you describe this ensemble?
Looks like somebody that's playing checkers, but doesn't know what side he wants to pitch.
Half the suit is black, half the suit is red. That's also, by the way, Nike, as I said, Nike ran out of ideas. Have you seen their new shirts this year for the coaches?
Yeah.
Who's wearing that? One half is like a darker shade, the other half, it's like, come on. As Oren said, it looks like a chessboard. I'm not wearing that. Forget about it. Must wear like horizontal stripes, not thinning. But anyway.
It's like the male version of Harley Quinn.
Yes, it's a good pull. So this outfit, just because you saw it in GQ or you saw it in like some magazine, I mean, you're going to try to wear it, man. It's like what I always say about like certain NBA players and stuff that they're rocking when they walk into the arena.
His pants have stripes on both sides or is that one side? I'm trying to look at this
again. They have stripes on both sides. Okay. So there's a line going over. It's like a tire ran over him.
Right.
Yeah, right.
It looks like he's trying to be like a supervillain.
It does. It does.
Like he's aligned with the Joker or the Riddler. I'm not sure.
I just retweeted it. Thank you. That's crazy.
All right. One of the things we talk about a lot on the internet, you know, is fake news and what is real and what isn't. Last night, that was really Chipper Jones telling me that, he wasn't liking my take because I invoked Bobby Cox's name in a comparison, talking about legacy and what I felt about, you know, Brian Snicker.
Wait, if I will, you gloated gust bug.
So at the end of the show, middle part of the show, we were talking about Snit, and I felt that, and I said it, my opinion, that Brian Snicker did more with less, and Bobby Cox did less with more. And because Chipper obviously has a tremendous relationship with Bobby Cox and came up with and spent his career with the Braves, he felt that it was a low blow in his mind. Also that it was personal, which it wasn't. It was a sports take. But here's what Chipper took to social media last night. And I didn't see this because I was watching movies. I finally got to see the Formula One movie last night.
What'd you think?
Loved it.
Okay.
Great. Now, some of it was a bit, slightly unplausible, but still loved the movie. Loved the production.
Okay.
Really dug it. Chipper responds to my tweet, "You... ... are without a doubt ... a clown ! Only an absolute talentless gas bag ... would take this opportunity to celebrate a glorious retirement by crapping on the generational GM and manager that ignited the last 35 years of baseball relevance. You can't be serious with this post." So reached out to Chipper on Twitter, said love to have him on the show. He was supposed to come on the Steakhouse. He may still this week. We'd love to get Chipper on. We have nothing but respect for Chipper. We always talk about how great he is working with the Braves. And we'll talk more about this in the 5 o'clock hour. But, look, it's just my opinion. I mean, I can say, in my opinion, one president was better than another president based on whatever your metrics are for success. And because for many Braves fans, these are the two managers you know the best. I didn't think it was a low blow. And I think, as I said, I think a Chipper is assuming from a false presumption that somehow it's a shot. It's a sports take. We all know that Bobby's health has not been great. And and I'm sorry that if some Braves fans took it that way. That was not ever the intention. But I'm just talking about a guy that had Cy Young Award winners and had Andrew and Chipper and all the other great players, and another guy that never had the starters and never had the resources that Bobby had. And that was my framing of an argument, in a sports argument, and Chipper felt otherwise. But
that's because you're a clown!
And so here's the thing. Carl's like, glad you didn't see that last night.
Yes.
What am I going to say? Chipper, I'm going to go to your ranch and find you. No, I'm not going to say that. Chipper will beat me like a drum. But, I get where Chipper's coming from. But, again, it's as I said, that was never my intention. So I saw it this morning. I said, look, man, I'll die on this hill. I think that, Bobby Cox should have won more championships. We opened up the phone lines earlier. We'll get you a chance to talk about it coming up. But, by the way, I got to give a shout-out to Coach Paul Veromo, my high school baseball coach, who apparently one of my friends forwarded to him. He goes, kid, you've really moved up in the world. Oh, I got to read this to you so I get it direct. Kid, you've really moved up in the world. I've always thought you were a big mouth, but now you're getting called a big mouth by a Hall of Famer.
And I would not hesitate to lay the hammer down on any clown that comes around.
So, the clown references are great. Oh, unbelievable today.
So anyway, that's Chipper's take on that. And then I've had some other repartee with some of the audience today about that. We'll discuss it more in the 5 o'clock hour.
Yeah, and I'll say this, Mike, and we can save this and get a little bit more into it because I responded to him. And I'll read my response to him in the 5 o'clock hour. But and I want to make sure I get him right because, guys are hitting us up and people are hitting us up on social media relentlessly when it comes to this. Because, again, I think this hits home. It really does. And I think, Mike, that's why you struck a nerve with so many people But it was Jay Baker, CJ Baker at CJ Baker. And his comment to me was, this wasn't about Bobby. And he says, I felt like Mike was a little flippant with this. And he explains. So we're going to get into this at the 5 o'clock hour. Stay there. We'll talk more about it.
Right. But, I mean, as I said, these are the guys. I mean, whenever you talk about legacy and you talk about what did you think? Did he accomplish the goals? I mean, for the most Braves fans, this is the conversation to have. I'm not going to talk about Chuck Tanner. I don't think Braves fans remember who the manager was when Hank Aaron was playing in Milwaukee. So it just, to me, it was a logical place to go with it. So that's how I frame my sports opinions and get a lot of people hot. But I understand because Bobby is still a sacred cow, and I understand why people love him for the job that he did and what he means to this town. But that's not the way it was supposed to come out. But some people believe it, some people don't. We'll talk.
What are you supposed to be, a clown or something?
Now, speaking of clowns, did Jerry Jones really reach out to the NFL and said, on behalf of the Dallas Cowboys, we are not condoning Bad Bunny?
No way.
As a halftime show. Well, they fact-checked it, and it's nonsense.
Thank God.
It was picked up, again, somebody literally. See, I would think that somebody without a blue check. Now, blue checks can be bought now, but I would think that somebody without, like, more than 600 followers who puts this out on, like, my mom's cowboystakes.com would be discredited. But nobody ever said anything on record from the Dallas Cowboys or from their management team. They've got any problem to file a petition to have Bad Bunny removed as the 2026 Super Bowl halftime show performer.
Yeah, and look, it's not going to happen anyway. That whole notion about removing him, I put out a long post yesterday. People are really wigging out about this. And, you know, it is what it is. Mike, we had this discussion about the Super Bowl performance. I watched the game. I hope we get an entertaining game. I'd love to have our team in the game. But at the end of the day, it's just an enhancement. It's something that I can say, hey, I watched, love Usher. And when he represented the A, it was great. Kendrick was great last year. Rihanna the year before that. Like, it's right. Just a part of what we're entertaining as far as the entertainment is concerned, what we're taking on. But I've heard this. Like, oh, there'll be protests. Really?
Now look, I mean, like I said, now, is it Mike? Now, here's two sides of this. I don't think it makes you racist or MAGA because everything goes down political lines in 2 seconds on social media.
It depends on how you say it.
Right. I don't know the artist. I'm not a fan of the artist. I have no interest in this halftime show. You know, and there'd be same could go for maybe it's a country singer. There's it doesn't play to me as a music fan.
You know
my genre.
You know what the NFL says when they book these artists? What's their following?
Correct.
Right. And also the record companies do also.
How many
pay
people
for this
will tune in?
Correct.
At halftime,
this will be more global. Yes. Than it ever has for Bad Bunny. Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
Because of the
you.
Spanish language. And part of that, and like the NFL, it's not like they've not been they just embraced Spanish language and fans. They've been doing this for 20 years. It's been part of Major League Baseball. That's why you see, you know, baseball and you see, you know, the Los Falcons and all that. But the question a lot of folks are saying now, Carl, is Ice really going to show up and all of a sudden, that's it, show's over. And now here's Lee Greenwood and Kid Rock.
Well, look, I'll say this.
I got Orin. See, that's a joke, by the way. Orin's laughing.
Well, no, but I would say this. Who is paying the money to go to a Super Bowl that Ice would be trying to escort out of the stadium?
Right. Well, stranger things have happened.
I mean, seriously. Like, if you're talking about those individuals, Mike, we don't go to – we're not paying
again,
to
Carl,
go to
it's
Super
a joke.
Bowls.
It's a joke.
Yes, but when you say that, people take it and you go, wait a minute, that doesn't even make sense. And it doesn't make sense to me. That's dumb.
Well, again, it's a joke, and I'm saying, like, I mean, you wouldn't think they'd raid a plant that where guys are working when they've got to deal with a country from Korea or Japan.
But they did, right.
Exactly.
Right.
Again, staying in our lane. Staying in our lane. But anyway, that is certainly drawing a lot of heat for folks who don't want or not interested in Bad Bunny, and folks, to Carl's point, who say, look, this is America, 45 million people speak Spanish, and that's who they're reaching out to, in addition to beyond the USA.
And again, check, check.
It's like checks. The world's highest streaming artist right now.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And by the way, I don't even know this. It used to be. Is Spanish the most spoken language in the world? Or is it English then Spanish? I don't even know at this point. But either way, you're talking about a potential massive audience.
Right. When you think about South America.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of the NFL, Roger Goodell is serious about a professional flag football league.
Why?
Is this something we need now? It's going to be an Olympic sport for Los Angeles, right?
It is happening. It is happening, yes.
But you know, we've talked about certain players have felt they might want to be involved in this. Certain NBA players have actually said they might want to be involved in this. But the thing is, if you're an NFL player, even if you are a Pro Bowler, even if you are Hall of Fame level, there's a certain nuance to being a flag football player.
At the end of the day, I feel like I'm better than Patrick Mahomes because of my IQ of the game.
This guy is unbelievable.
What is this guy's name, Oren? Play it again real quick. This is our best quarterback at flag football.
At the end of the day, I feel like I'm better than Patrick Mahomes because of my IQ of the game.
Oh, my goodness. That's great. I mean, like, we've been playing that for years now. I guess probably last year or so.
Right.
Daryl Doucette.
Yes.
That's his nickname is Hoosh.
Yes.
And by the way, Rajon Rondo is apparently now the top-ranked Rajon Rondo may have passed Doucette as the top-ranked flag football quarterback in America.
But is Rajon better than Patrick Mahomes?
Well, at the end of the day, I feel like I'm better than Patrick Mahomes because of my IQ of the game.
Yeah, we've heard you. But who would have thought that Rajon Rondo was even interested in flag football? That's crazy.
Right.
What's this team going to look like, by the way? Is it 2028 Olympics?
Well, let's hope it looks better than our 3-on-3 basketball team we took to Paris.
I agree with that.
Jimmer Fredette? Why don't you have the guys from Hoosiers play in the game?
They went 20 years ago, Mike. They tried to bring in guys from 20 years ago and go win.
Hey, man, we talked earlier today about NIL and how big money's coming in to football, perhaps with the Big Ten doing a deal with private equity. One thing for certain, you know, when you got players making big money, some fans and coaches would say, if you're not doing your job, let me get a little less in the envelope each week. Take a listen to Texas A&M coach Mike Elko talking about how they may handle some guys that aren't doing the job the right way.
All right, so I'll let you guys in. So I've tried all kinds of things. So today what we started was the Texas A&M Football Coaches Cabo Fund. And so what's going to happen now is every time one of our players gets a penalty, they're going to contribute to the Coaches Cabo Fund. And so we'll see if that works.
That'll stop that.
Now, again,
I bet you won't jump off sides now.
In baseball, you know, Carl, kangaroo courts and clubhouses, fines. But we will see if somebody, I would imagine, somebody will go, you can't do that. It's not in the contract. You can't take money away from these young men once you've given it to them. But a lot of folks are going, sure you can. Hey, man, I learned something new today.
Okay.
I follow a lot of comedians and a lot of folks on Twitter, and I'm always looking for fun little factoids. You know what I learned today? Speaking of Paris, we just mentioned the Paris Olympics. Did you guys know there are 3 Popeye's chicken restaurants in the city of Paris?
No, did not know that.
I thought that was kind of I just a little factoid that I hit earlier today. And what made me chuckle is the guy that made the post put up a pretty funny line. He says, yes, it was part of the Louisiana Purchase deal.
Come on.
By the way, are kids still learning that day? Do your kids know about the Louisiana Purchase?
By the way, are they popular over there? That's my question.
Well, there are 3 of them.
Yeah.
But or as they say in France, trois.
Yeah.
Looking at their menu right now.
But like anything American that goes overseas like that, Mike, is usually huge.
Right.
Like there's lines out the door.
No, I mean, McDonald's obviously everywhere. I'm not sure if there's a Popeyes in Tokyo, but I know it is kind of neat when you go to other countries and you go to their restaurants and you see how they do it and how the little nuances, like the famous line from Pulp Fiction where they talk about a Royale with cheese, because with the metric system, nobody in Holland would know what the quarter pounder is, or in Paris.
Yeah, I'm curious to see, like, do they act like we do when things from overseas come, like, the big phenomenons, like when fashion comes from overseas and everybody's like, oh, you got to get this. Or that's the look, or whatever it might be. Like for restaurants, I would think when Popeyes went over there, I'm curious. I don't know, anyway, but I did not know there.
But
were
I just 3. That's one little thing I found, a little factoid today that I found. And by the way, one little note: we didn't mention it yesterday. We don't really do like this day in history anymore on Guy Talk. But yesterday was the 50th anniversary of the Thrilla in Manila.
Mm.
And I know you and I are huge Muhammad Ali fans and heavyweight fans of that era, I should say, in an amazing division when you had 7 or 8 just absolute rock stars from Ken Norton all the way to Larry Holmes at the end of the 70s.
Foreman.
But George Foreman.
Yeah, man.
You know, and Ernie Shavers. I mean, just go on and on.
Big hitters.
Right. But to see that and to watch, and I was just watching the Ali documentary the other day, and it was like, I think it was a 3-4-parter on ESPN. But I mean, just to watch the punishment those guys laid on each other. That, as Ali said, it was the closest he ever came to death.
To death.
And Eddie Futcher throws in the towel, so that's it in the 14th round. But anyway, it was 50 years ago yesterday.
That's crazy, Mike.
Anyway, that's Guy Talk.
And by the way, best fight? I know everybody says, you know, in your lifetime, you'll see 1 or 2 fights that you think are the best. Like, if you ask people that witnessed that, because again, we're going back to the 70s now, Mike. People still claim that was the best fight they've ever witnessed. And if you go watch it, I think I'm sure it's on YouTube now. I don't know if it feels the same because the fight was so big. And again, this was prior to social media and all the things. Everybody in the world knew about this fight.
I mean, that's the 70s for me, just because it was my childhood. My dad's, Carl, both our fathers, one of the things that made our friendships grow. We're big boxing fans. We got to meet each other in the radio business. Is for me, it's always Hagler-Hearns.
Ooh.
It'll always for me be Hagler-Hearns because I mean, oof, the intensity.
Hunter broke his hand in that first round, dropping bombs.
I mean, two guys. You watch again. If you watch, and this is not a disrespect to Floyd Mayweather or anybody of this era, but I mean, there's no dancing. It was just straight.
No, we're coming at
rock 'em, sock 'em robots.
Yeah, that's a good call. Hey, man, want to remind you guys. Sports Talk on the Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit Paramount Plus. Plus, that's ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. All right, Falcon Report's on the way. Good news. A couple of players being recognized, if you haven't heard. And also, we will dive into some of the comments and open up the phone lines because Mike's comments last night struck a chord with a Hall of Famer. Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.